Good evening. You know, it's customary whenever we teach a lesson from God's Word that we also teach how to follow God's Word to find His path to salvation. After all, it would be cruel to leave someone dangling on the verge of salvation just as they're beginning to understand God's gospel message. The word gospel means good news or glad tidings. We commonly refer to the gospel of Christ as the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, as in Romans 1:16. Or we describe it as the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 4. I have a question for you tonight. How long has the gospel been around? How long has the gospel been around? Let me give you a little hint. I call tonight's lesson, The Gospel Since Abraham. We read about Abram beginning in Genesis chapter 11. God changed his name to Abraham in Genesis 17 because he promised to make him a father of multitudes, and that's what Abraham means. Let's look at how the inspired New Testament writer Paul refers to God's promise to Abraham by reading Galatians 3, verse 8. Paul wrote, God preached the gospel to Abraham, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. Paul is referring to Genesis 12, verses 2 through 3, wherein God told Abraham, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Was Paul correct to refer to God's promise to Abraham as the gospel? Of course he was. What greater news can anyone hear than to be told by God that he will bless you, and through you he will bless all the families of the earth? When Joseph and Mary presented Jesus to the Lord in accordance with Jewish law, the prophet Simeon held the baby Jesus in his arms and was guided by the Holy Spirit to declare in Luke 2, verses 30 through 32, For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. About three decades later, soon after the crucifixion of Jesus, we read in Acts 3, verses 25 through 26, that the Apostle Peter told his audience in the temple the good news that your sons are the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. We've read tonight about the gospel preached by God to Abraham. We've read about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and how that good news, the gospel, is the power of God to salvation. We've read how Simeon held the baby Jesus in his arms and declared him to be God's salvation. But how does it all happen? How does God's salvation come to be? Well, it's really very simple. Now, some people may take exception to this comment as they try to make God's word more complicated than it really is, but it really is very simple. Our salvation comes the same way it always has, through knowledge, instruction, understanding, and wisdom. Let me explain what I mean by reading Proverbs 1, verses 2 through 7. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you're wise enough to follow the path of wisdom and instruction, you will hear the word of God and believe him, just like Abraham believed. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. And what can we expect from God in return? Well, Psalm 11:7 holds the key. Psalm 11, verse 7. The Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. That's what we can expect if we're willing to repent from our former sinful ways, turning away every one of you from your iniquities, as Peter said in Acts 3:26. Hear, believe, repent, and openly admit that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven." Wouldn't it be wonderful to have such a spokesman as Jesus in heaven on the day of judgment? When Jesus was nailed to the cross for our sins on that terrible day at Calvary, the transition which had been prophesied for centuries began to unfold from the old covenant to the new covenant. The new covenant is written in Jesus' blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Jesus tells us in Mark 16:16, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." And Colossians 2, verses 12 through 14, teaches us that when we are baptized, we are buried with Christ in baptism, in which we are raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. Remember, the gospel is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. And continuing Colossians, verse 13, "And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, that is, taken the law of the old covenant out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." So back to my original question. How long has the gospel been around? Well, we've seen that at least since God preached it to Abraham. Abraham believed God, and when God commanded him to do something, he obeyed God. And the beauty of the gospel is that it is eternal. The Apostle John writes about his vision of heaven in Revelation 14, verse 6. He writes, "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people." Jesus says in Revelation 2, verse 10, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Abraham listened directly to God, as did others in the Old Testament. According to what I just read in the New Testament, Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 2, Jesus is God's final word. All that needs to be said about God is in the person and work of Jesus Christ and is written once and for all for our knowledge, instruction, understanding, and wisdom. No one but God has the power to salvation, and we have his instructions written down in the Bible in order that we may choose to hear and increase learning or be foolish and despise wisdom and instruction. It's up to you. In a moment, you'll see instructions about how to contact us to take the most important steps of your life, steps that can lead to salvation through Christ. We may currently be restricted from gathering together, but we will find the means necessary to ensure that you can safely obey God's plan of salvation, whether you live nearby or through a congregation of the Lord's Church located closer to you. If you desire to study God's word further and to seek his path of salvation by obeying the gospel, or if you have strayed off his path and need help returning to the way, please follow these instructions. Make your needs known to us while we sing this song of invitation.